OK. So do galaxy clusters boil? Well, what is a galaxy cluster? Galaxy clusters are the largest objects in the universe. We first observed them in optical light, and we saw something like what we're seeing here on the right. We saw a cluster of galaxy-like objects, much like our own Milky Way. But if we look at the same region in the sky in X-rays instead of optical light, we see the whole region is glowing. That's because these clusters are suffused with a very hot plasma at about 100 million degrees Kelvin. And in fact, this gaseous halo extends way beyond the range of this picture. In fact, it extends millions of light years out from the center. If I took a sound wave, if I sat in the middle of this cluster and started yelling and sending sound waves out, it would take these sound waves about a tenth the age of the universe to get to this outer edge. This gives you an idea for how massive these halos are, and it actually leads us to an interesting question. If we look at the distribution of iron in these galaxy clusters, we see that in the outskirts, there's a fairly uniform distribution of iron. Now, this is surprising, since iron comes from supernova, and we believe supernova are confined to the innermost 1,000 or so light years. This means the iron, which is being produced right in here, is somehow being mixed uniformly all throughout this galaxy cluster. And we would like to understand the mechanism that mixes these clusters. Do I need a giant paddle a million light years wide to go in and sweep through this galaxy cluster? Well, not quite. We think the answer is much simpler than that. We propose that these galaxy clusters are mixing themselves. And to understand what I mean by that, let's forget about galaxy clusters for a bit and think about fluids. What you're seeing here is called convection. Some food coloring was placed at the center of this fluid, and a hot coffee cup was placed below it. This coffee cup drives convection, and the fluid particles, which started out in the center of the cup, rise and are effectively able to transverse the entire fluid. And as you can see from this, convection is a really efficient mixing mechanism, so it might be important for our study of mixing in galaxy clusters. Now, classically, convection is driven by entropy gradients. This coffee cup, you can think about it as raising the entropy right at the bottom of our layer of fluid. Then this entropy drops as I increase in height. This makes our fluid convectively unstable and makes it very susceptible to mixing. However, when I look at galaxy clusters, specifically when I look at their entropy as I move out in height, I find that the entropy increases as I move out, which means I have a positive entropy gradient, and I would expect these galaxy clusters to be stable and not mix. However, there are some physics that we're missing out on here. As I mentioned earlier, these galaxy clusters are at around 100 million degrees Kelvin, so they're totally ionized. So we expect there to be magnetic fields present. And we can measure those magnetic fields. They have strength of around 10 microgauss. Now, since we have charged particles zipping around magnetic fields, we expect these particles to be gyrating around these magnetic field lines. And something we can see is that the mean free path of these particles is something like 10 orders of magnitude greater than their electron gyro radius. So we expect particles will be confined to move solely along magnetic field lines. We expect very rapid thermal conduction along these magnetic field lines. Basically, what that means is that if I move along a single magnetic field line, all of the gas on that magnetic field line will have the same temperature. So now, with these new physical ideas in mind, let's look at a toy model of a galaxy cluster's atmosphere and see if we can determine what determines its stability. All right, can you raise it up a little bit more?
Yes.
Thank you. Perfect. So we're going to take gravity to be pointing down, like it usually does. And for simplicity, we're going to let our magnetic field be perpendicular to the direction of gravity. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a blob of gas, and I'm going to perturb it up an amount delta z. Now I want to see how the atmosphere will react to this perturbation. You know, if I kick it a little bit, will it come back to where it was, meaning it was stable, or will it run away in some chaotic manner, meaning it's unstable? Now, when I move this blob, it's going to drag its magnetic field line with it. And as we just said, you know, these magnetic field lines are isothermal because they conduct so rapidly. So that means that whatever temperature the blob started out at, it will retain once I've moved it. However, once I've moved it up, the ambient temperature might change. So it might be at a different temperature than its background. Now we're going to make one more assumption. And that is that, you know, something Neeraj talked about is that sound waves are what equilibrate pressure. So we're going to assume that these sound waves move so rapidly that this blob is immediately in pressure equilibrium with its surroundings. So the pressure on the inside equals the pressure on the outside. So what do we have? We have a blob, which is at equal pressure with its surroundings, but at a different temperature. That means this blob will be at a different density than its surroundings, and this means it will be susceptible to buoyant forces. Specifically, we have rho times the acceleration equals the density contrast times the gravitational acceleration. And this density contrast is the difference in density between the inside of the blob and the outside of the blob. Now, from the ideal gas law, we know that the density equals the average particle mass times the pressure over kBT. And so at constant pressure, we get from this equation that delta rho over rho equals negative delta T over T. Now notice, delta T, this temperature contrast between the inside of the blob and the outside of the blob, is the same as the temperature difference between the layer where the blob started out and the layer I brought it up to. So I can write this as negative dLnT dz delta z. And plugging this back into my force equation, I get that delta z double dot is negative g dLnz dLnT dz delta z. And you'll recognize this as the equation for a harmonic oscillator. And the important thing to notice is that the stability of this equation is determined by the temperature gradient. If the temperature gradient is positive, meaning my temperature rises as I move up, I get an oscillatory solution, and the blob comes back to where I kicked it from. But if my temperature gradient is negative, meaning my temperature decreases as I move out, then I get an exponential solution, and my blob runs away, and my atmosphere is unstable. And can you put the screen back down? And when we look at temperature gradients in galaxy clusters, we find that they're hot on the inside and they cool off as we move out. This means we expect them to be susceptible to convection, and this could be a plausible mechanism for mixing these. Now that we've identified a mechanism, we'd like to see how convection affects the global structure of these galaxy clusters. To do this, we've invented a new simulation technique, which is the first of its kind to include the relevant physics for this novel form of convection, while also keeping track of the important cosmological parameters to help us keep track of the growth and evolution and formation of these galaxy clusters. On the left here, we see a slice through this, we're seeing the temperature in a slice through the center of these galaxy clusters. And the black lines show the magnetic field lines, which we've just shown are so important for this new type of convection. As you can see, there's a hot spot in the center and it cools off as we go out. So it looks like it's going to be convecting. What I've done on the right is exactly what they did in that previous movie that I showed you. They used food coloring to track the motion, the convective motions of the fluid. So I put dye in my simulation so I could track how well dye particles from the center, where metals would be produced, will get convected all the way out to the boundaries. And as you can see from this lighter color fluid being carried all the way out, that convection can, in fact, bring metals from the inside out to the outskirts of my galaxy cluster and mix these clusters efficiently. However, when we go back and analyze the data, although we're able to get metals to the outskirts of these galaxy clusters, it seems we're not able to get enough iron out there to match the observations. Well, we've put in all this effort to simulate these galaxy clusters, so what we can do now is simulate observing these galaxy clusters to see if we can single out the discrepancy between our numerical results and these observational results. So what I mean by that is we're going to take our data from this galaxy cluster, and we're going to try and calculate the amount of iron in these galaxy clusters in the same way that an observer would if they were looking at this cluster from far away. We'll then compare this number to the actual amount of iron that we know is in these galaxy clusters and see if they agree or disagree. And what we find is that in the outskirts of galaxy clusters, precisely where the amount of iron is over, precisely where we have anomalously high amounts of iron reported, we find a strong tendency for certain ionization species of iron to overpredict the amount of iron that we find out there. This implies that past observational work, which relied on all of these metal lines to calculate the metallicity out there, may have overpredicted the amount of iron by factors of 5 to 10. Now, this observational work is still tentative that we're doing, but if it holds up, our model of convection in galaxy clusters, combined with this correction for the observational bias, has the potential to provide the first complete picture of the origin, evolution, and distribution of metals in galaxy clusters. Thank you. Oh, really quickly, I would like to thank my mentors, Mike, Pang, and of course Neeraj for helping me out with all of this, and also Crystal and Greg for their useful conversations.
Questions? Hi. Great presentation, by the way. So I was just wondering, convection is obviously, as you guys found, was a way to explain this phenomenon, but are there any other hypotheses that have been in the literature that you guys have maybe thought about?
Yeah, there's a lot of other ones. I think the big one is that, so no one's ever really looked at this convection in clusters before. So before, people thought actually clusters were convectively stable, which means they're really resistant to mixing. So I believe the previous explanation was you have a giant black hole in the center of your galaxy cluster, specifically what we call an active galactic nuclei. And this thing is kind of, gas falls in, and then through some process that I don't really understand, it shoots out these giant jets of really hot plasma. The idea was basically that, you're putting a bomb at the center of your galaxy cluster, and this is sort of blowing up and blowing these really large-scale winds out and driving metals from the inside all the way out. Because it was kind of, before when they thought convection wasn't happening, they actually thought these galaxy clusters were really stable, so you would need like a very strong force to sort of push through the atmosphere.
Thank you.
Hi. So this is probably like a really dumb question that I also could have addressed to Niraj on the last one. But if there's like sort of million plus degree gas like out there, so obviously if I were to actually go out there, I'd like freeze to death, right? So how do I reconcile like these two things? Sorry, I mean this is probably like a dumb
No,
question.
it's actually a really good question. So my best guess would just have to be like it would be a timescale thing. Like, I think eventually, like, the matter in your body would equilibrate. I think it would just take a very long time. It also could be related to the mean free path, I think, because the mean free path of particles, like, so specifically in these clusters, like, the mean free path of particles is of order the cluster size. So, like, megaparsec scale, and a parsec is already, like, 4 light years. So it's very likely that if you went up into space, you would just never collide with one of these particles making up this like million degree plasma or 100 million degree
Yeah, that
plasma.
makes sense. Thanks.
About convection question. So there is critical gradient of temperatures that needs to start convection. So if you have right gradient, convection doesn't start immediately because of compressibility thing. Is it something negligible? Because it makes impression that if you have right sign of gradient, you already explained that convection starts.
Yeah, so typically we make the assumption that the sound speed goes to infinity, and this means it's almost entirely incompressible. So we can ignore that effect.
Yeah. And one more question is that if you make convection between, for instance, two hot-cold plates, right, then it is not necessarily going to be uniform. There are some Benard kind of cells will shape, right? Do you consider in the model that it's kind of uniform convection, or you take into account those structures?
I think we treat it more as a uniform convection. Yeah, especially because I don't know how convection cells would set up in this geometry where it's spherical rather than planar, where the convection cells typically form.
So you mentioned how large these galaxy clusters were. And so if the centers are convecting out towards the edge, it just seems like how fast are these gases convecting?
That is a good question. It's definitely subsonic, and if I'm remembering the numbers correctly, that was an accident. If I'm remembering the numbers correctly from my simulations, I think it's something like a tenth the speed of sound, a tenth to a hundredth of the speed of sound.
So how long would it take to have some initial condition and then have something that actually looks like a galaxy cluster?
I'm sorry, what do you mean by that?
So like how long does it take for the gas to go from the center to the outer edge?
Probably like the entire age of the galaxy cluster. Yeah. So basically the age of the universe.